God's Messenger, May 26, 1906. Night before last, I slept only 3 hours, but I have cast my burden on the Lord. Since the Berrien Springs meeting, I have no hope that even the strongest evidence, which the Lord may present before some, will change their minds. Nevertheless, the party that resisted the light will have the light again. I thank the Lord that although yesterday, Friday, was a day of weakness and affliction, yet I have hope of getting through this severe attack. It rained all Thursday night, softly yet steadily. It was not windy. The rain continued until mid-afternoon Friday. At 7 o'clock Sabbath evening, while the family were at prayers, I had a slight chill and thought I would better undress and get into bed. But the chilliness seemed to increase, and I was a long time trying to get warm. Sarah came up and got me a hot water bag and wrapped me up with flannels, and so I became warm and slept until 2. In the night season, I was bearing a decided testimony to an assembly, and afterward there was a gathering of many about me, asking so many questions regarding the explanation of this point and that point, that I felt compelled to say, "One at a time, if you please, lest you confuse me." And then I appealed to them. "For years you have had many evidences that the Lord has a work for me to do. These evidences could scarcely have been greater than they are. Will you brush away all these evidences as a cobweb at the suggestion of one man's unbelief?" That which makes my heart almost despair is the fact that many who have been tempted have had a long time to consider and pray and understand, and yet they do not discern the nature of satanic sophistries and refuse to heed the warnings God has given. I have tried to hang my helpless soul on Christ Jesus. Some have stumbled over the fact that I said I did not claim to be a prophet, and they have asked, "Why is this?" I have had no claims to make, only that I am instructed that I am the Lord's messenger, that He has raised me up from sickness nigh unto death to become His messenger, to receive His word, and, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that should be imparted to me, to give a clear and decided message in the name of the Lord Jesus. Why have I not claimed to be a prophet? Early in my work, I was asked several times, "Are you a prophet?" I have ever responded, "I am the Lord's messenger." I knew many called me a prophet, but I made no such claim, because my Savior declared me to be His messenger. "Your work," He instructed me, "is to bear my word. Strange things will arise, and in your youth I set you apart to bear my message to the erring ones, to carry the word before unbelievers, and with pen and voice to reprove from the word actions that are not right. Exhort from the word. I will make my word open to you as no strange language. In the true eloquence of simplicity, with voice and with pen, the messages shall be repeated from one who has never learned in the schools. My spirit and power shall be with you. Be not afraid of men in your youth, for my shield shall protect you. It is not you that speaketh, it is the Lord that giveth the messages of warning and reproof. Never deviate from the truth under any circumstances. Give the light I shall give you. The messages for these last days shall be written in books and shall stand immortalized, unchangeable, eternal, to testify against those who have rejoiced in the light given, but who have since been affected by seducing spirits. Those who are charmed with the scientific sophistries of Satan do not know that they are deceived. They are working after the order of the enemy to seduce souls from the sure word of Christ, which is the spirit of prophecy. The Lord declares, "The men whom I have honored greatly as my physicians, giving them skill and understanding, and the presence of angel helpers, have believed lies in the place of truth that shall endure as long as the heavens endure. Those who have refused the warnings given are not to be looked upon as safe guardians. Those who have engaged with Satan in playing a game of life for their souls will, as men, yield themselves to be worked by seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I am instructed to have no controversy with them, for anything I might say would be taken up by satanic agencies, and they would warp and twist and falsify the words spoken. If the one who claimed so much in connection with the medical missionary work had given God the glory in the place of receiving the glory himself, and exalting himself and following his own judgment, the salvation of God would have gone forth as a lamp that burneth. Had Dr. Kellogg walked humbly with God, the Lord would have given him skill and understanding, and would still recognize him as his chosen physician. But his course of management was often directly contrary to the expressed will of heaven, and thus he dishonored God.
I have not led him in this way, the Lord declares. He was chosen as my physician. I own him no longer as such, for he greatly dishonors my name before the world, before angels, and before men. And those who have honored and glorified him, I have not honored. Unless they change their attitude toward him, they will depart from my guidance more and more. Truth, eternal truth, will bear away the victory. May God deliver his people from the scientific sophistries and underworkings of Dr. Kellogg. He has no respect for the truth for this time and is deceived, deluded, enslaved. The work to be done will not be advanced by the help of any such spirits. The work of God will not be entrusted to his hands. God does not acknowledge the need of scientific theories of Satan to forward his sacred work. Men are in need of being learners as well as workers. He who is calm, truthful, and loving will handle difficult problems after Christ's order and bear no signs of Satan's intrigue and deceptive, disguised working. Often prompt, determined measures, under Christ's leadership, will bear away the victory. All who have been truly converted will advance as Christ leads the way. But when men think that through false movements and through the aid of lawyers' documents they can carry their own way, the Lord Jesus saith to them, as he said to the lawyers when upon this earth, "Woe unto you, lawyers!" Luke 11, verse 52. While Christ wept over the impenitent nation that claimed to be his people, he showed that ungodliness could have no part in the kingdom of God. To act out scientific problems of satanic devising under a form or pretense of right doing is to bring a standing reproach upon the cause of God. Christ has not given the least encouragement to underhand dealing in any line, or to any system of robbery whereby the church will be deprived of her rights. The books of heaven will astonish men in the day of judgment, in the revelations of deception and intrigue and injustice therein recorded. God weighs actions. Christ exposed the scribes and Pharisees who took advantage by binding heavy burdens on the people. They perverted the truth. He stated that condemnation would be visited upon all transgressors of the law of God, upon all who depart from the right. While Elder Dan T. Jones was dying, scenes were presented that are too painful for me to record.